Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations, about 260 of you out there. Good to be with you. We are going to talk a little bit about some numbers that came out yesterday, Friday, December 4th, specifically unemployment. The headline in the Wall Street Journal that I'm looking at right now was unemployment rate declines to 10%, quote, the unemployment rate unexpectedly fell in November to 10% in a sign the labor market is finally starting to heal. Job losses slowed sharply with payrolls falling by 11,000 compared with the 111,000 drop in October. I'm chatting with John Williams. John, as our listeners are aware, has a publication called Shadow Stats. He dissects government statistics in this newsletter. John is an icon in our business. People feel that his numbers are more relevant than the ones put out by the government. I would have to agree with that. John, let's talk about the unemployment. 10%, not bad, huh?
Well, 10% is not a good number. What you have to keep in mind here is that we're right now in the, and still are in, the longest and deepest economic downturn that anyone has seen since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, we also are seeing major distortions to the reporting system. And here I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but we saw some problems here a little earlier in the year, too.
Yep.
So all these numbers that get reported in the headlines are seasonally adjusted. And they try to adjust for regular seasonal patterns with employment and unemployment. You have big swings when the school year ends, when the school year begins,
right,
when the holiday season comes and people get hired at the retail stores and such.
Okay.
They weight most heavily whatever happened the year before,
yep,
seasonal factors. And what the Fed found with their numbers is that there's some major distortions in seasonal factors right now because we're not the shifts and the extraordinary swings have very little to do with regular seasonal patterns. Yet these same things are being built into the seasonal factors. So we're getting some very bad seasonal factors here.
How do those seasonal factors affect the number that came out yesterday, the 10% unemployment number?
Well, what happened? If you look back at October.
Yeah.
There, the unemployment rate jumped from 9.8 to 10.2%.
Right.
Markets were looking for 10%. That probably was a better estimate, but the because of seasonal factor distortions, it took it up to 10.2, and then what we saw was a readjustment from that downward today to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only reason you're down to 10 here is because it shouldn't have gone up to 10.2. Last month, if you go back earlier in the year, June, July, and August, there was a period of time there where the unemployment rate dropped a tenth of a percent. And that I was predicting because I knew that there was a problem with the seasonal adjustments tied to the retooling of the automobile lines for the new model season.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't happen the way it normally did because bankruptcies of General Motors and Chrysler distorted it.
Yeah.
And so as a result, not only did the unemployment rate drop due to those bad seasonal factors, but because those factors would reverse the next month indeed you had a bigger than expected jump in the unemployment rate.
Okay,
you saw something like mm-hmm. that happen here. I don't know if it was tied to the school year or whatever, but right now we're seeing a lot of volatility that's due to poor quality seasonal adjustment. The way I'd look at it, if you wanted to get a good trend on it, would be to use a three-month moving average on that. And if you do that, we're a little over 10% in November, but you were 9.9% in October.
Okay. So in fact, a couple of questions that I would have here. One of them is, in terms of the optimism that was generated in the markets, the conventional markets on Friday as a result of the unemployment numbers, for example, the dollar kicked up to over 75 on the index. You know, the conventional markets did okay. That optimism is perhaps unfounded. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's unfounded. It'll reverse next month because next month you'll see the unemployment rate rise again.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of funny things being done with the payroll numbers, which maybe we just put aside for a second.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing to consider here, too. And as I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, people there do their best to come out with good numbers, and there have been times when numbers have been adjusted. I think they've been doing a fair job of giving you as honest a number as they can.
Yeah.
With the Obama administration, but they're stuck with some bad mechanics and systems that just are not working in this type of a downturn.
Okay.
I mean, their payroll adjustments have a what they call a birth death model. It's never designed to handle a recession.
Right.
And as a result, they're not counting all the jobs that are being lost by companies that are shutting down. I mean, things like that. But there was a time, and this way you just have to think about it. You mentioned it today. Back in following the 1987 crash, Greenspan decided to sacrifice the dollar. He had to save the stock market.
That was sure.
Announced goal. By the end of 87, the dollar was really tanking.
Right.
And what they did, they actually fudged some trade numbers.
Uh-huh.
Where the trade deficit in December that year showed a terrible worsening, created really almost a dollar panic coming into the end of the year. And then the early part of 88, they hit the markets with massive intervention. Intervention by itself generally does not have lasting impact.
Uh-huh.
But they followed it up by reversing the trade number, like we saw with the unemployment number today.
Yep.
And it worked. I mean, they're able to rally the dollar. And the thing that's just a little suspect to me here is that all the good news today comes right at the point in time when consumers are going out in the holiday shopping season. And this will tend to boost consumer confidence a little bit. People follow the numbers. Tend to respond to the numbers. So that's one reason somebody might want to get a better number in here.
Well, but wouldn't it be realistic, or wouldn't it be prudent to say at this point that's a good thing? I mean, our economy is...
I'm not saying I wouldn't even do the same thing to try and get the markets, to get people out. I mean, it's better to have people optimistic than pessimistic.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're looking at their own finances realistically, meaning that they're sure that they're covered here, but there are other statistics, such as the help wanted advertising and the purchasing manager surveys, all of which are showing that the employment situation is deteriorating. It's not getting better. You're going to see better, and those are better quality numbers than what you get out of the government.
Sure.
You're going to see further deterioration in here with these data. December, January, you're going to see higher unemployment. Decline in payroll numbers should intensify again.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, I understand what you're saying. I understand the parallel between what Alan Greenspan did with the U.S. dollar strength, et cetera, by kind of looking at things a different way. Mathematics is very interesting in that way. But I have to say that if anything is going to save our economy, John, if anything is going to save our economy, it's the American citizen. It's going to be the enthusiasm. Let me take out the word enthusiasm, and let's say it's going to be the positive feelings on the part of the American consumer that's going to cause spending, that's going to get the economy back on track, for lack of better terms. Okay. John, always appreciate you. You're a great, great input into our program. Thank you so much for joining me. Miguel's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy. Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes. A $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report here on all these Genesis stations, all 250, 260 of you out there. Really appreciate you airing the show because I know that we are talking about things that are very, very relevant to the American people. I am chatting right now with the director of an organization called the Americans for Technology Leadership. His name is Randy Skoglund. Randy, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that.
Randy's a very interesting guy. We've chatted off the air. I like his ideas. I like the direction he's going in. I'm gonna ask you, Randy, to start out, if you would. Tell our listeners about your organization, what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure, absolutely. We're a group, a coalition of technology companies and really consumers, the users of technology. And we're out there promoting free market principles to the public policy issues that face the technology industry. And we also spend a great deal of our time just educating people about how they can stay safe online.
Okay, so when you say technology, you're talking primarily the Internet, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking all of that, from cloud computing to software and using your computer on a daily basis and mobile phones and all that technology can bring to our lives.
Okay. My wife and I, interestingly enough, just moved out into the sticks, for lack of better terms. We do a lot of our shopping online, whether it's purchasing, you know, golf equipment because we're real average golfers, whether it's purchasing clothing, what have you. We do a lot of this stuff online. What do I need to be aware of to be safe online?
You know, one of the first things I tell people, and this is a little counterintuitive, but I tell people, you know, when you're shopping online, you know, good financial planners will tell you, they'll say use your debit card to make sure you're not extending yourself on credit. But when you're shopping online, it's best to use that credit card, because if you use your debit card and something happens and that information is stolen, that money comes out of your bank account, and while the fraud is being resolved, you're out of pocket for that money. Whereas if you use a credit card, as soon as it's tagged for fraud, it's taken off of your account until that fraud is resolved. So there's a little bit better protection of using a credit card while you're shopping online, because if something does happen, you're not going to be out of pocket any money for any period of time.
Really an interesting point, and I had never thought about that, because we have a tendency, my wife and I both are very, very avid cash shoppers, for lack of better terms. So that's a very interesting point. Heretofore, we've used our debit cards, but you know what? That's a good point. I'm going to change it. Let me ask you the generic question, Randy. I mean, how safe is shopping online?
Shopping online is very safe, and there are millions of transactions that take place every day. We encourage people to shop online, but we also encourage them to take some steps to make sure they're protected. You've got to have antivirus software on your computer, and it's not good enough just to install it once. You've got to make sure you're getting those daily updates, because these technology companies spend billions of dollars researching all the latest threats. But if you're not getting your antivirus software updated on a daily basis, you may not be protected against some of the latest threats.
Okay, what else?
Some of the other stuff to look for is, you know, I always tell people, watch out for phishing scams. When you get one of those emails in your inbox and the deal just seems a little too good to be true, I always tell people, you know, because a phishing scam, they can send you an email that looks like it's from a legitimate company, take you to a link that looks like a legitimate company, but they're really just trying to get your information. So I always tell people, you know, if you get one of those links, don't click on links in your emails. Just take the address of the site you want to go visit and type that in the browser bar, and that's just an extra step you can take to be safe.
You know, I had an interesting experience this morning. Just when we were talking off the air, as I mentioned, we just got back from rather an extended, you know, business travel, so I'm still a little rummy, but I got a call this morning from an organization that purported to be a part of one of my major credit cards. We only use really one or two credit cards, and one of them happens to be, you know, a very well-known credit card. And I got a call saying, you know, my name is so-and-so. I'm from the credit department of such and such a credit card organization. Call this number immediately. Well, I called the number, and boy, it had nothing to do with my credit card, but it had everything to do with wanting me to sign up for something, wanting me to provide, you know, an opening into my technological world on my computer. Kind of scary.
Well, absolutely. And I always tell people, there is not a legitimate financial institution in this country, whether it be a bank, a credit card, or anybody else, that is going to call you up or send you an email and ask you to provide personal information.
Right.
They just don't do it. And I always tell people if, you know, because unfortunately these cyber criminals, they play on people's fears.
Sure.
They tell them, hey, there's something wrong with your account or with your card.
Right.
And I always tell people, ignore those. And if it is something that does concern you, flip back over your card. Call the number on your card. Don't call the number they provide to you, or pick up your statement and call the number on the statement. And you can talk to your bank that way if you are concerned. But again, no financial institution in this country is going to call you and ask you to provide personal information.
Randy, let me ask you this. Now, if our listeners go to your website, which is www.techleadership.org, and you don't have to write that down because we will provide that on our homepage, which is kereport.com. Just go to our homepage and you can get all this information. But if they go to your website, can they get kind of a written primer on what we're talking about and what they need to be careful of? Because, I mean, the technology has opened up a whole new world for all of us, really.
Absolutely. We've got a whole resources section where you can find out about phishing scams. That's with a PH. You can find out about identity theft, all sorts of these scams that are out there. And we've got resources. We've got links. And all sorts of information. You can find out what it is and how you can protect yourself.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. An organization like yours today is, I think, a very important, useful organization. And, you know, just to show you how far we've come, man, who'd have thought 10 years ago that we'd have to be worried about stuff like this? You know, it's like we started putting this program on the internet back in about 2000. I thought my co-host was crazy when he did that. I said, come on, man, nobody's going to listen to this stuff on their computers. Boy, we've got over 100,000 people a month who listen to this stuff on their computers. It's really, really interesting what the world has evolved into. And because of that, I would have to say, Randy, that your organization, Americans for Technology Leadership, is incredibly, incredibly important. And I would have to say, you guys, listeners, we are going to provide the banner for Americans for Technology Leadership on the homepage of our website. Take a look at it. It's information that you need to be aware of. Okay, the gal's been chatting with Randy Skoglund. I'm going to be back. Stick around.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
I have owned every light you can think of, and my pack light is the one I refuse to leave home without.
That's what Jerry from Oregon said.
Your flashlights are the best. We bought some 3 years ago, and all three pack lights have gone through two hurricanes each, and they just keep going on and on.
And that's what Albert in Florida said about the amazing pack light. Pack light's multicolored caps come equipped with two high-powered LED lights, snap on to any 9-volt battery, and will last over 1,200 hours. Listen to what Jerry from Michigan said.
After carrying a pack light in my pants pocket for 2 years, It was bound to happen. The pants and the light went through the wash together, and it still works.
The Packlight has a 25-year warranty, starts at just $12.99, and is an excellent gift idea. Order yours today at 9voltlight.com or call toll-free 877-715-4448. Use coupon code RADIO and receive free shipping. Be prepared with a Packlight. Remember, 9voltlight.com or call 877-715-4448. 877-715-4448.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much heck of money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the two-hour version of the Corlin Economics Report, airing on these 260-some-odd Genesis radio stations. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. We're going to talk about the world's perception of the United States. And I'm chatting about this with a fellow by the name of Greg Johnson. Greg is someone who I've known for a while. He is the co-founder of a company called Nova Gold. He also has a radio program called The Gold Show, which airs on TFN. That's the Tiger Financial Network. This network is comprised of about 20 or so stations. Greg has some very, very interesting opinions that are a result, for lack of better terms, from his international travel and being involved with a company like Nova Gold. He does an awful lot of travel worldwide. So it's interesting to get his take on what folks are thinking of us outside of our borders, for lack of better terms. Greg, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, nice to be on the air again.
You know, I had an interesting experience about a year ago. I was speaking at a conference in Frankfurt, Germany, and after my speech, I was having lunch with a couple of the other speakers, one of whom was a lady from Turkey originally, who was a fund manager from basically who came to Germany via UCLA down in Los Angeles, where she received her MBA. Very, very bright woman. And we were talking about the upcoming presidential election. And she said, who do you think your next president is going to be? And I said, well, I think it's pretty well assured at this point in time that it's going to be Barack Obama. And she said, not a chance. And I said, why not? And she said, well, a black person could never be elected president of the United States. And I looked at her square in the eye and I said, I pray to God that you're wrong about that one. I hope that we have gone much, much past that point. But regardless, she went on to say that, you know, she said if Barack Obama gets elected to be the president, the perception of the United States is going to change within 2 hours after the election, because at the time, the perception of our administration was really, quite frankly, not very good. Well, we have President Obama now roughly 10 months in office. We still have problems. And I, as you brought out when we were chatting off the air, Greg, those problems, I think, are a result of what's going on in our country and not necessarily a result of the man. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I share. I mean, you talked about your experience, which was a while back before President Obama was elected. And, mm-hmm. you know, I had similar experiences when I was traveling. I travel frequently to Europe. I was recently in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the perspective that I often heard was that people had a lot of respect for Americans, for American entrepreneurial drive and a lot of respect for America as a place and
sure.
a people. But there was a lot of people that were really, you know, didn't agree with the Bush doctrine,
sure.
and the Bush, you know, various initiatives that mm-hmm. they had undertaken. And mm-hmm. they were highly controversial, but people seemed to separate those two things. And I guess my experience has been one of the Obama administration has come in, again, people kind of say, wow, that's impressive that America is a place where, you know, a guy can be self-made and come up like Barack Obama and, you know, be in the most powerful office in that country. And there's a lot of places that just couldn't happen.
Right.
And so I think we probably did move up in world self-esteem or, you know, what world esteem
sure.
in terms of the United States.
Right.
But, you know, what I also saw was, you know, that people are really concerned mm-hmm. about the financial disaster that really we went through last year, a lack of confidence in Wall Street, which was, you know, probably the most prestigious money center in the world, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that confidence has been shaken, I think, to its roots.
And rightfully so, in my opinion, I might add.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it really, in my opinion, I don't know that it would really matter who the president is. The world is concerned. How is the United States going to dig itself out of what is clearly, you know, a major, major, once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime kind of financial mess?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people are kind of that mixed opinion still, where there's still respect for the individuals, for Americans, for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of respect probably for what Barack Obama represents.
Yeah.
But, you know, that genuine concern, which I think many of us as Americans feel as mm-hmm. well.
You know, it's interesting. I think it was a huge step in the right direction when President Obama was elected. And I don't think there's any question about that. I don't agree with a lot of his policies, because what I'm seeing really is I'm seeing a real move towards socialism, Greg, and that is exemplified by, you know, just a whole bunch of things, not the least of which is this medical proposal that he's got out there. I mean, socialized medicine is, in my opinion, or government-run medicine, for any way you want to call it, anything you want to call it, I guess I should say, is a clear, clear movement into socialism, which really scares me in the United States. And the reason it scares me is because we got to be where we are because of some very, very effective capitalistic tendencies. And capitalism is really, I think, on the way down in the United States. And I don't see how you can say that we live in a purely capitalistic environment, for example, when they're talking about having the government run the medical system. How can you say we're in a capitalistic environment when the government comes in and saves corporations like General Motors? It just, and I think that's sad, because I think that that is a very definite major nail in the coffin of the United States.
Well, I mean, I agree with many of your points, Al, and who would have thought if you'd looked back 18 months ago and I had told you that the United States would effectively nationalize some of the premier financial institutions,
yeah.
our largest auto manufacturers. I mean, people would have thought you were, you know, from Mars.
Exactly.
I mean, it would just have been completely, you know, you've got to be crazy. And
mm-hmm.
yet, you know, that did happen. I mean, we effectively did nationalize those institutions.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure in the crisis we were in, I'm not sure that anyone has, you know, necessarily at this point, I guess history will tell, you know, what was the appropriate course of action to take. But, I mean, I guess I recognize, too, that in the United States, the fact, you know, I've worked as an independent geologist where I didn't have health care from my employer, and then I personally have gone through the experience of, you know, the problem of not being a group and the expense and the cost and everything else. So, you know, it's certainly I can, from firsthand experience, say I've been one of those people that's in the doesn't fit in the, you know, employer-provided health care, you know, been, and I didn't like it, and I didn't see that it was run in a situation where, you know, the market was freely available, and I guess I would have been an advocate for seeing more of a market solution where perhaps, you know, insurance companies would have vied for my business, and maybe pools would have been set up along, you know, regional lines, like, you know, the western states are all one pool so that anyone could buy insurance. And so I do share your concern, and when government gets involved in things, you know, I don't think there's going to typically be a cost savings. And certainly, you know, I think, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen, but I live in Vancouver, Canada. And, you know, Canada shifted to a kind of a socialized medicine approach, you know, some time ago. And, you know, living here and experiencing, I can say quality of the health care overall is high. It's a North American standard, but you notice differences. You know, how soon can you get into to get things done if there's a medical procedure that needs to be done? You know, there's going to be wait periods and things like that. And I suspect we'll probably end up moving towards something like that in the United States. And that it's not ideal, I think, in some ways.
Well, my concern, we're going to talk more about this healthcare issue on the show next week, but my concern really isn't necessarily the healthcare situation itself. My concern is the trend that I'm seeing, and the trend is that we are definitely heading towards a socialistic country. I mean, the philosophy, for example, of this redistribution of wealth is a philosophy that I absolutely do not agree with. I believe in equal opportunity for all, but I think that when you start talking about wealth redistribution, nationalization, etc., pardon me, you're just taking away major incentives, and those incentives are really what made our country great. Okay, I've been chatting with Greg Johnson. Going to be right back after the break.
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government and all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have two solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's one-fourth the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And SurvivalistSeeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever. 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to startpage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try startpage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's startpage.com.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With CarolStove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at CarolStove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with CarolStove.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Welcome back. Big Al's here to wrap up the show. It's been interesting. You have to admit we are in times right now that are disconcerting, to say the least. For me, they're absolutely terrifying, but I think for people who perhaps aren't as much of an alarmist as I am, let's just use the word disconcerting. I'm going to wrap up the show right now with a new guest, Francis Cianfrocca. Francis, do me a favor. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, would you?
Well, it's great to be with you, Al.
Thank you
for having me on. I'm the CEO of Bayshore Networks, which is a technology company based in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working in and around Wall Street and banks and for many, many years. And I do a lot of blogging at newledger.com, and I also write for redstate.com and occasionally for Commentary Magazine.
Okay. Been in business for about how long again?
I can't remember a time when I wasn't in business.
Okay.
Oh, a good 20 years at least.
Yeah, I got the same.
Serial entrepreneur, the whole bit.
Yeah, I have the same problem. Well, you're a bit of a Wall Street insider, and it's always good to have folks like you on the show. Tell our listeners, if you would, a little bit about your daily podcast.
Well, it's a podcast we record. I record with a colleague of mine from the New Ledger, Ben Dominich, and it's like the NPR conversation. We sit around and we give a quick summary of the market action.
Mm-hmm.
I concentrate on capital markets. A lot of people look at the stock markets, but I'm more interested in interest rates and bond markets. And then we talk about whatever the large policy issue of the day is, because we're very interested in the intersection between business, markets, and policy. And the different spin that we like to put on it is a real world spin as opposed to academic economist policy speak.
Yeah, I think that's a direction I think more people should be going in. What's your opinion right now, Francis, of what the federal government is doing to attempt to get us out of this economic abyss that we're in? You think they're doing the right thing?
I think that a lot of what they're doing is on the wrong track, and I'll tell you why I feel that way. First off, we need to split this up, of course, into what the administration is doing, what Congress is doing, what people like the FDIC are doing, and then the Federal Reserve, which is off in a different zone, pursuing a monetary policy, a zero interest rate monetary policy, which I think has quite a bit to recommend it. You look at the big policy initiatives that are coming out of the federal government now. Obviously, we had that enormous stimulus package, fiscal stimulus,
mm-hmm.
Keynesian stimulus, and now we're, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about doing another one, because this one, the spin that they're presenting is that it wasn't big enough. Then, of course, next year you have initiatives like cap and trade and nationalized health insurance coming along,
mm-hmm.
which are going to do nothing more than add to the public commitments that the government has to fund, either through deficits or taxes or a smaller economy or both, right?
Even though,
so,
yeah, even
here's,
though.
Here's the issue that
okay.
I really have, and mm-hmm. I think this ought to put it in a nutshell for a lot of people. The policy in the federal government is being made by academic economists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real-world kind of a guy. I'm
sure.
a CEO, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
I look at what actually motivates real people to make real investments.
Mm-hmm.
But the academic perspective, and there's no knock on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The people advising the president, very, very fine. Christina Romer, top-flight Stanford economist, and a lot of other equally impressive people.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perspective they have, that if you were to increase GDP,
mm-hmm.
if you were to get that number of output up, if you were to increase it, then employment automatically follows.
Right.
And where I find that to be a fallacy is because it's based on the notion that if you increase demand, consumer
yep.
demand is weak in a recessionary time. So Keynesian theory says the government can replace it by supplying its own demand through the mechanism of fiscal stimulus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the more of it you do, you ought to get more output, more supply, and therefore employment gets pulled along with it. We're seeing that that's not happening.
No, it's
okay.
not. I mean,
and there's
really
a disconnect
isn't.
There,
mm-hmm.
and I think there are a lot of pretty clear reasons for it that no one in government is really looking at.
You Keynesian or an Austrian? Sounds to me like you're more of an Austrian.
I'm neither one. I'm a businessman.
Okay.
How do you like that for an answer?
Yeah, you know
the
what?
The issue I have with the Austrians
mm-hmm.
Is that I think, you know, it's a bit – it's a little bit simplistic, the pathway that they lay out,
mm-hmm.
And particularly you also have to mix in some insight about modern portfolio theory, because the whole world of finance
mm-hmm.
changed tremendously beginning in the late 50s and the 60s, a lot of new mathematics, and the whole way that we price assets in capital markets, totally different
mm-hmm.
from when Hayek and von Mises were writing.
Right.
So I don't want to say that I'm certainly not a Keynesian. I believe I'm a supply sider.
Yeah.
I'll cop to that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean. It's like I don't think that supply comes from demand.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. Say's law is true. If you have more supply, you'll get more demand.
Yeah.
The reverse is not true. But as a businessman, I could tell you the thing that drives increases in supply, which are correlated with improvements in employment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and general prosperity, for that matter, are not demand, but the risk-adjusted rate of return on the capital that it costs you to create the supply in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the government is making a tremendous policy error, because what they should be doing is they should be cutting taxes and regulation on business and capital in ways that are clearly stated and that people can rely on, because we need to go through a period of, I don't know how long it's going to take, a psychological adjustment on the part of business people that it's safe to invest again. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And that also has to get correlated with an improvement in consumer demand. That's getting driven, weakness in consumer demand is driven by a different force, which is deleveraging. Everybody in the private sector wants to cut their balance sheet
yeah.
at the same time as the government is pushing theirs up.
Mm-hmm. What I think is really interesting, you know, if you look at two of the three hot buttons for the administration right now, one being cap and trade and the other one being is this, I'll use the word loosely, medical reform. It's actually
yep.
medical payment reform, you know, and that's going to...
Maybe not. Keep going.
Well, but I mean, that's going
to
result...
I think there's a little bit more to it than that. But
yeah, no, of course there is.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Of course there is. Of course there's more to it than that. But if you look at those two issues, they are both, in my opinion, very, very counterproductive to getting us back on track. And the reason I say that is because cap and trade is going to do nothing but increase costs for many of the businesses. And number two, I mean, it's a proven fact, even though the administration says, well, our medical proposal is going to actually, you know, lower costs. No, it's not. I mean, you're talking about small employers that represent a huge, huge 80% or so of our economy, they're going to have to change their hiring practices because of the increase in taxes that they're going to be faced with. Yeah, and I can't understand how anybody in their right mind at this moment in time would propose those two actions.
I think that both of them are things that the people now in power in Washington came in thinking and planning and having been ready for, even in advance of the economic and financial crises, the twin crises that we face.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, they have adjusted slightly, but I think they came in wanting to do those two things. And here's where I think, in a sense, there's something going on that isn't being stated, which is worth pointing out in both the cap and trade and the national health care. Cap and trade, I think, and the Europeans, if you go over to Europe, people will tell you this in a pretty straightforward way, but I think the underlying thinking is to catalyze the development of new industry and new economic opportunity through the development of green tech.
Right.
And there's this perception, there's this feeling that you can have an economic renaissance comparable perhaps to the development of automobiles and the development of computers, you know, if we talk about developing green tech. Problem is, you need an economic push because it doesn't make economic sense in a free market.
Exactly.
So if you were to artificially impose the limitation on carbon-based fuel usage, then you could produce an economic push and everyone would start investing in green. Now, I got to say, it's funny because I have close ties to the venture capital industry.
Yeah.
And venture-funded companies.
Sure.
There are, and I don't know if people realize this, there are something like 40 or 42 companies in the United States now working on electric vehicles. And all of them, the big famous ones like Tesla, of course, in Silicon Valley. And there's also General Motors, which is working on the Volt project.
Yeah.
But there are about 40 in all. Every single one of them has received significant public funding from you and me, from the taxpayers. So you know that the push toward electric vehicles is something that the government is driving from top down. I happen to think it's not a bad idea.
Got about 10 seconds.
I would like to see a development of electric vehicles, but it has to be done in an economic way.
Well, there's a real big difference.
That's kind of the thing about cap and trade. Now, just skip over to healthcare, and we're probably running out of time.
We're totally out of time.
I think a big
you know
switch
what?
Is going
we're
gonna
get
here.
Francis, we're going to get you on the show next week. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about healthcare. Okay, Big Al's going to be back. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced by Paul Warren for A.B. Corlin & Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin and Paul Warren, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.